So exciting and strange things happening in this reading about Peter and Cornelius. We're looking at the Spirit-filled life. We're looking at how does the Spirit work, and when we're obedient to him, what things can happen. And today we're looking at how the Spirit working through two men changed the world. But we need to do a little bit of an activity, because this is an all-age service, after all. So, what I need is some volunteers. They can be children or adults, but who would like to come and take something out of my little bag? As a reward for some people who do this, can I have some children come up? Come on! I need lots of you, so it's no good just being one person. Would like to take... Yes, could you tell me what's on it? There's a letter.
Oh, yeah. J.
J. Well, if it's a J, then you can go stand over there. Okay.
G.
G. Please go stand over there. Oh, the centurion's going to take one. And he's got...
G.
G. Oh, right. You can sit. Did you take one? Just quickly. Let's see. Show me what letter's on it. Can you tell me what letter that is?
G.
G? Would you like to go and stand with the centurion? Have we got equals? And you're a G. There's a lot of G's come now. Would you like to go and stand? I'm going to shake this up a bit more. Aaron, are you going to have one? You've got a J. Yay. You've got to stand with Grandpa. Well, you're J. You can go stand over there as well, if you like. What did you get? A J. Oh, you're going to stand just down there so everybody can see you. G. Oh, you have to go and stand over there. Hi, Hayden, come on, you can stay. Oh, do you know what that was? A J. You can go with him. No, I don't want to go with him. Last one. J. Right, so, to those of you with a J, I have a simple message. Jesus loves you. Have the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you. You can have the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you. Holy Spirit for you. Sure about you, but Jesus loves you. I don't mean it really. Jesus loves you, you can have the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you, you can have the Holy Spirit. Sorry. How did that feel, do you think, for these people over here? They didn't receive the message that Jesus loves them. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Your reward is coming. You see, this is the time that Peter and Cornelius lived in. When really, as far as the Jews were concerned, only the Jews could receive the message of God. The Holy Spirit was only for them. And if a Gentile, who was seen as unclean, wanted to receive this. Sorry. We're going back to those that didn't wash at new wine, right? If they didn't want... I thought I'm going to put my envelope now. If they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit and know about Jesus, they had to swap. Peter. And become a Jew. You can't even have sweetie later. But that wasn't right. That wasn't the plan that God had for the world. So we meet a man who had the G. He was a Gentile. And through him, God was about to show that this was not the way he saw the world. So what do we know about our Roman centurion? Well, firstly, we know that he was a Roman soldier, and he holds up his little plastic thing, ball. He was a Gentile. He was a very important Gentile. He probably looked after over 100 soldiers. But our story also tells us that he was devout and that he was God-fearing and he gave generously to the poor. So, and he prayed daily. So he might be like we see in society, people say to us, oh, that man's not a Christian, but he's very good. He works tirelessly for charity. He's always helping people. He's very devout and he keeps all the commandments. But he doesn't know Jesus. And this was what Cornelius was like. He obviously saw in the Jews something that he admired. Their way of life, their way of praying, their devoutness to their one God. Their lives had obviously impinged on him, as ours should on the world outside us. When people see us, do they want to copy us? The Lord, in his word, says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it for the glory of God. Is that what people see in us? That's what Cornelius had seen in the Jewish people. So one day, he is praying. And he sees an angel of God who tells him that his prayers, his gifts, have been noticed by God. And you giving balls out to children was never going to be a really bright idea. Never mind. You'll get to use them in a fun way shortly. Throughout the history of mankind, people have always had prejudices. Cornelius is told to go to send people to the house of Peter, or Simon, known as Peter. And Simon is actually staying with another Simon. It's very confusing. There's a lot of Simons in the Bible. We've got one here, look. It's great. But this Simon was a tanner. And tanners were people who worked with the fur of animals. And actually, they were despised by both Jews and Gentiles. So the instructions to Cornelius weren't that simple. He would have had to get over a prejudice of his own, sending his men to the house of a tanner, who he may have seen as not being quite the right sort of person. But God gave him this instruction. Now, Cornelius accepts God's instruction, and he sends two of his servants and soldiers to Joppa to bring Peter back. Sometimes, for us, God's instructions make us uncomfortable. They're things we don't want to do because they're difficult or because our prejudices get in the way. And God has an instruction for us and says, but I want you to do this. So are we like that? Are we sometimes not willing to follow God's instructions because there's something that we don't like? We don't want to share Jesus with that person in our class who's not liked very much. That person who doesn't have many friends, who isn't like us. Or somebody at work that we really don't get on with. God sees beyond our likes and dislikes and knows the needs of those who are hurting around us. When he gives instructions, we need to obey them. That's the Spirit-led life. Now, Peter's home was in Jerusalem. And the angel says, send your men to Peter. And we need to know that we've been commanded to do things and God doesn't show favour to anyone. And so he sends these men off to Peter. And meanwhile, Peter is in his own home. And he's had this vision. Did we see the vision with the beautiful animals coming down in a sheep? What does that mean? Well, in Peter's time, there were certain foods you could eat and certain foods you couldn't eat. Clean and unclean. Just to give you an example, clean, beef, we eat beef. Unclean, badger. I don't know who'd want to eat a badger, but obviously God felt they should be told not to eat badgers. But mainly these rules were given to them when they were in the desert. It was to keep them from getting illnesses, and it was to protect them. But they'd taken it to the point where that image of clean and unclean had been taken away from just what they ate to people. These people, the Gentiles, were unclean. Only the Jews, smug as they are, were clean. So when Peter sees this vision, he knows what God is saying. He's saying, everything to me is open. You shouldn't be making barriers. Peter's immediate reactions are, I can't do that, Lord. That would be breaking this rule of clean and unclean. But in this time of prayer, he listens to God. God has to say it to him three times. How many times does God have to say to us something that he wants us to do? How many times does he have to say to us, change your heart, don't be prejudiced, break down those barriers that are naturally there? We need to break down barriers. Now, who's got still holding their balls and hasn't thrown them all over the place? Right, okay. Can I have the G's on this side? Can I have the J's over here, just lined up this side of the table, please? Converts can be that side as well, yeah. This is where it could all fall apart. On this table, we have a wall. We have a wall made of animals. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to throw our balls at the wall and knock it down. When I say one, you need to come a bit nearer, you're not going to be able to do it from there. On three. One. Oh, wait. God has not spoken yet.
There's the graces.
Holy Spirit says two. Are you ready? Three. Yay! Well done. A round of applause. The barrier is gone. The barrier is down. And do you know what's happened to all the balls?
It got mixed up.
The Jews and the Gentiles all together. Because God doesn't want barriers. When this image was given to Peter, it was a life-changing moment in the history of the world. God is saying, there is nothing that I have made clean that can be unclean. And so, in obedience, Peter goes down and meets these Gentiles who have come to him. He may not have fully understood what God was doing, but he obeyed. And part of the Spirit-led life is to obey God. What God wants us to know is that God plays no favourites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. How do you feel today? Do you maybe feel that there's a barrier? Do you feel not quite part of everything? Do you feel God couldn't love you because you're a bit unclean? Do you think you're not worthy because things in your past have told you that? Well, that's rubbish. The Holy Spirit and God says, everyone is acceptable to me if they come to me. I love the world. I don't separate it into Jew and Gentile. It is my creation. And the Holy Spirit has come so that we can all be one together. So as we close, let us think about what these lessons mean to us. Do we see others as God does?
He doesn't look at people the same way we do. He doesn't like people or not like them based on their skin, their colour, the way they live. God sees the heart of every man, woman, and boy and girl. And if we see people the way God does, we will be praying for people we know and meet who do not believe in Jesus. We'll be praying that all barriers come down, that there is less prejudice, more unity. A spirit-filled life means that we, in our hearts, should have no prejudice against anyone. The Lord asks us, break down the barriers in society. Break down the walls between peoples. Have compassion for people. The Holy Spirit living in our hearts will enable us to love all people and be an example of how to live. So what I'm going to ask now is at the end, is that I'm going to let the children play with the animals just for a moment. I might take the balls back. Put them in. Oh, thank you very much. But what I'm going to ask of you is that we pray for those we know who don't know Jesus. That we pray for those walls and barriers we see in society to be brought down. So if you want to pray out loud, or if you want to say a prayer out loud that the Spirit is leading you to, then let's just have a time of prayer. We'll let the children play with the animals while we pray. Oh, yes. I was after we finished praying. Yes. I've just thrown that all on the floor.
That's next week.
I think that would be a bit cruel. So, who didn't get any of the Holy Spirit? You didn't. Oh, my goodness. What's safe for you? You didn't. Oh, all right. You want to choose. Right, okay. This could take a while. Anybody else who didn't get a sweetie? Oh, the centurion. I thought you were getting yours next week. Right. Is that it? So let's pray. Lord, we pray that in this world where there are so many barriers, so many things that make people feel outside, unwanted, help us to show them how much you love them. Help us to, in our own hearts, break down those walls that life, indoctrination, whatever has put in our hearts. By your Spirit, break them down. By your Spirit, give us compassion. And by your Spirit, Lord, help us to be obedient when you ask us to do things that go against everything that we feel we believe is right. Lord, we pray for you and your Spirit to come into the society that we live in and break down those walls. In Jesus' name.